I'm going to start off right from the top here. There's no way I expected a vintage performance. Not even close. What we saw was completely just inept, putrid. I'm not going to insult anyone's intelligence, Scarzi, yours or otherwise. I didn't expect much of anything, and I was still mortified. Everyone associated with that disaster should be taking a hard look in the mirror. The plan to get results reminded me of something Adam Gase and the Jets would do.
Well, I think you're going a little hard on the team there. It's bad how, you know, Hoy Hoy and Stidsey played. You're not supposed to have that many turnovers and leave that many points, you know, off the board. But there's...
Hold on. I'm sorry. I was actually talking about the ratings for Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Warning. The hosts of this program are not broadcast professionals. They have no idea what they're doing. They are bad at this. One of them uses swear words. A lot. All complaints about this show are correct. You have been warned. This is your last chance to download a real podcast. Okay, you asked for it. Here are Dave Brown and Iron Mike Irons. This is Entitled Town.
Al, the orchestra, thank you very much. Scarzi's with us, the Statler, my Waldorf, the general of the sports drunk draw. He's back for a third go-round. 26-10 Monday night. What'd you say, Scarz?
I said it's good to be here, filling in for in the Dave Brown seat, as it were.
Thoughts and prayers to our buddy Dave. 26-10 Monday night, the Chiefs over the Patriots. It's only part of the story, all right? Thoughts, comments, opinions?
I get the distinct opinion that that a lot of people in charge don't understand how this virus works.
Big if true.
Very big if true. And you talked that the game was on Monday. I'm going to be 100% honest. I did not think that they were going to get this game in this week.
I absolutely thought the game was going to happen because the NFL is going to slam things through with blinders on both sides. It's almost as if there's no plan.
Well, that's having no plan has always worked before for them.
Just make it up as you go along. It's like the Loico investigation. Just what's the obfuscate, deny.
That's right. Or, you know, look in the late gate.
Well, that was clearly just done on the level at every level. It's so, I mean, 26-10, here's the thing that bothered me, and maybe in my simple mind, and you can be my conscience here. The NFL had an edict. One of the few rules they had in the pandemic was you don't fly in, a visiting team does not fly into the city the day of the game. The Patriots flew in Monday for a Monday night game. So I guess the rules don't really matter. I mean, shame on me for being surprised that the NFL moves the goalposts.
They'll probably lose a fifth rounder for, you know, traveling on the day when they weren't supposed to.
Yeah, that was the joke I was going to make later. It's like, how many draft picks do the Patriots lose for Mike Vrabel's Titans holding their own practices when there was an edict not to do so?
Hey, if I worried about using the same joke over and over again, don't worry.
I resemble that remark, believe me.
Oh, boy.
I mean, all things considered, they flew in day of game, a really, really good opponent in their stadium. I mean, could you expect the defense to perform any better?
They did a great job on you know, very limited practice time. There's a lot going on here.
They dropped two interceptions. The McCourty one was that was the first series after where Devin dropped the ball. And I think it was J.C. Jackson who should have made a play later in the game. It's there's a reason why they're defensive backs and not receivers, I suppose. But, you know, 19 points they allowed on defense on the road on a short week without actually practicing because of the positive test by Newton. I don't want to be Pollyanna, but I God help me use the term moral victory we were lampooning last week, but I don't feel terrible about where they stand moving forward.
Okay, well, I've got a prepared statement here.
All right, the floor is yours.
If you'd indulge me, and you know it's a good prepared statement because I didn't prepare this. I am lifting this verbatim, which I think means with raisins, from the BSMW Slack board from our friend Blinded by the Lombardis.
One of the greats.
Ahem. Hoyer's red zone mistakes were ridiculous, but what's gotten lost in the shuffle is all the adjustments that happened after Cam tested positive. They had zero practices since that test. They waited to learn if they were even playing this week, then had to travel on game day. There were some extraordinary mitigating circumstances to that game, and they still went punch for punch with the reigning champs for three quarters. They were set up to lose that game, and yet they still held their own. I wouldn't call it a moral victory. It's more like one of those Belichick realization games, like the game they lost to KC in 2014, when they also slipped to 2-2, coincidentally. And in closing, he said, the effort is there, the talent's there, and the mistakes are fixable. That's a recipe for success.
Yeah, I can't disagree. And I lift liberally from him. His Twitter account is at...
stick tap to him.
Absolutely. His Twitter account is at Patriots Daily. He's a one, as you are, Scarzi, he's a terrific writer. The PatriotsDaily.com back in the day was kind of the OG response to media idiocy that we're trying to do with this podcast.
He summarized my thoughts exactly.
Tell me why we can't get analysis like that from the leading newspaper in town, the Boston Globe. We both know the answer to that.
Why are they in competition with the Red Sox? Isn't that the real question?
I'm just asking the question, caller. I'm just asking the question. The quarterback play was, and I think you and I discussed this along with a few mutual friends of ours prior to the season. I think we were resigned to the fact that the quarterback play was not going to be, spoiler, nearly as clean as it was with the greatest effort to do it. But it was pretty epically bad. It was Zolak level bad. It was, Hoyer, you can understand Hoyer's amped up. He missed a wide open Izzo in the first series, but the decision-making is what bothered me. He was signed to make good decisions, and that brain fart at the end of the first half, it was a 6-3 game. They're poised to tie the game or take the lead. There's rumblings that he's going to start Sunday. I can't honestly discuss it yet. That's why you're here.
Oh, I don't know what to think either. The baseline was competent game manager. And competent game managers don't lose track of how many timeouts the team have when you're in the red zone.
Oh, what little hair I had left was being tugged at from the roots at that point. It's like, he's there to not turn the ball over, to not make mistakes, as you just mentioned. And he did whatever his assignment was. It was like he worked at Initech. It's like, Jesus, God, he does the exact opposite of what's going on. He just stares at his desk in meetings because they think he's working. It looks like he's working. I actually felt bad for him a little bit. The guy's been in the league. He was an undrafted free agent who made the team after the undefeated season. So obviously there's something going on there. He's played for six teams. He must be a good teammate and works hard. The execution was, vomit-inducing.
I felt bad for him too until he was in the same spot on the field and got strip sacked.
Right. It was very cerebral statuesque, just hold, pat, 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 boom. Oh, God.
I felt like Nick Cafardo. I said, I give up.
I believe that's, I'm not going to do any Nick Cafardo jokes. It's too soon. Is it too soon? I'm not sure it's too soon.
It's too soon.
All right. Well, what shouldn't be lost in everything is that they had, among every other handicap they had in that game, and I guess I'm making excuses. Belichick came out today, and the thing that I think I can speak for both of us here is one of the things that we love about him is that he came out, he's not making excuses. They had a relatively patchwork offensive line on Monday night. The offensive line was not an issue. Harris ran well. Burkhead ran well. Great to see Jimmy White back in there. The line played well. They're good in the trenches. They had a solid game plan on defense. I was afraid they'd get gashed on the ground Monday night because they'd be playing, you know, the Super Bowl 25 game plan that Belichick had when the Giants played the Bills, where he said if Thurman Thomas gets 100 yards, we'll win. I thought right. that might be it. The trenches were great. The secondary is good. So, you know, Kelsey, we're on to Denver, or are we?
Oh, boy. Again, to borrow a phrase, some people do not know what they're doing.
At all.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, how'd you feel about the they made the obvious, I mean, there was really no choice. If Stidham could stand on two legs, he was going to have to play on Monday night. Hoyer was terrible. Your thoughts on Stidham?
Stidham, well, I was very happy with that back shoulder, you know, end zone corner catch by Harry there. That's the kind of thing you're looking for. And he was brought in to, you know, try and engineer a comeback. And doing that, you're going to have to make, some more dangerous throws than you might want to with no practices that week.
Yeah,
I'm going to let you in on a secret. I wasn't at practice, so I don't know if he got any first-team snaps or not, but I'm guessing he didn't.
Are there rumblings inside the building that he got some first-team snaps?
That I don't know. That I, you know, I cannot confirm.
Well, this is Exhibit A for the defense, while you will not be an NFL insider.
Well, exactly. You know what NFL insiders get? They get information that a quarterback for the Patriots maybe faked a hip injury during training camp to avoid having a training camp battle with a former MVP.
Oh, who's the alleged insider there, Scartzy?
Are you sitting down or standing up?
My fainting couch is at the ready.
What you should do is sit in a chair and slouch like you're all cool and such, like Greg Bedard might. Because he's the one who's got this, I'm using, you know, Chris Farley air quotes. He's got this story.
And it's a story, all right.
Somehow he believes that, and also he's got proof that he went to, you know, a hospital and they told him he wasn't injured.
Yeah, the HIPAA like laws HIPAA being violation. As lax as they are, that's clearly the case. I'm sure he's not making it up even a little bit.
Well, exactly. If you got to go on with Felger and Maz and dance for quarters, I suppose you do what you got to do.
Well, I've heard he's dropping dimes, but that's neither here nor there. It really is. I don't want to get off on a Bedard tangent. Spoiler, I do, but for the sake of for your ears and anyone who's listening to us, I don't want to go there. It really is pathetic. I pray for Nick Cattles's eternal soul because he sold it for a hamburger next Tuesday.
He's hitched his wagon to a star.
Yeah, a star, a starfish. Anyway. You need to talk me down a little bit here. The Newton thing really got under my skin. It's not because he got COVID, you know, shit happens. I get that. But who knows if it's true? If he was at the South Shore Plaza wearing a mask that wasn't over his nose while taking pictures with people at the South Shore Plaza, am I an old white dude for being annoyed by that? His head coach is 68 years old. He's in close contact with his coach and other members of the organization who may not be young world-class athletes. Talk me down here. I don't want to go all 98.5 on you here. It seems like something that should be empirically correct. Like, don't go to a mall and take pictures with strangers.
Well, this might be new information for you, but I guess Gilmore has the COVID now.
It's not new information, and he was actually placed. We're recording this Wednesday evening, about 7:30 Eastern time. Gilmore was placed on the he was placed on the COVID list late this afternoon Eastern time.
Well, the latest word I'm hearing from Schefter is that he may have had dinner with Cam Newton on Friday.
I don't want to sound dumber than I already do, so we'll just leave that out there. Who knows what comes out from Schefter? That could have been a text from Brian McCarthy, the NFL PR guy, in an attempt to plant the seed to strip the Patriots of all draft picks for the next decade because of their negligence in their players being influenced during a pandemic. So who knows what the hell that is. It's anything Schefter. I mean, we've covered this previously. Anything Schefter, Rappaport, or Breer get is basically just a control C, control V onto their Twitter account from an agent or a league employee with a grudge.
That's true. But like they say in Peabody, things are less than ideal. We've got Cam Newton with the virus, and he was a former MVP. We've got Gilmore, who is a defensive player of the year. And we got Bill Murray, who might be a Patriots player of the week eventually.
Yeah, he might get the coveted parking
spot. That's too much winning. That's too much winning.
All the winning. It's more winning than Charlie Sheen had when he had tiger blood in him, for Christ's sakes. Should they have played? I mean, am I an idiot for thinking it's like, I knew they'd play, but should they have?
Well, if there's more, let's see. I believe Gilmore was on the plane with the people who were in close contact with Cam, so he was.
Think about the absurdity.
Maybe they can contain this.
Right. Yeah. Think about the absurdity of that. They had a plane, a bubble for those who were in close contact with someone who was diagnosed with COVID. We just ship them on a flight 2.5-3 hours, whatever it is, from Boston to, I believe, my sources tell me that the airport in Kansas City was MCI, big if true. You ship these guys in a tube where maybe one guy can infect multiple guys, have them go in a locker room, have them engage in a contact sport, maybe expose the sainted Patrick Mahomes, who Ben Volen wants to put in a bubble after wishing the COVID on Bill Belichick for 3 months during the offseason because he's tap dancing for John Henry even more virulently than Greg Bedard is tap dancing for Michael Felger. That's neither here nor there. The idiocy of allowing that to happen in light of the Titans game being canceled against the Steelers on Sunday when you have a shorter incubation period? Caller, I'm aghast.
It should not have been played, in my estimation. I had, put out a snarky tweet saying that it wouldn't be Monday, wouldn't be Tuesday, any of those sort of things. And how do people not understand that you can, test negative but still be shedding virus? That there's a gap between being able to test positive and the incubation period. Trying to play every 7 days during the time where you've got yourself a virus with a 12 to 14 day long incubation period, you're whacking your head against a wall.
They didn't build in any, no matter what side you fall on, be that as it may, whether you're a COVID truther over the top, you're a COVID denier over the top, the fact that there was no foresight to build in any flexibility with regard to, changing plans on the fly, now they'll change the rules on the fly. They have no problems doing that, whether it's regarding footballs being tampered with on the opposing sideline Deflategate, or whether they're changing the COVID rules regarding teams flying day of game. They have no problem doing that. There's no foresight. There's no planning. All of these assholes at 345 Park Street, all these Jet fan assholes who are in power at NFL headquarters, and that's where they are. It's that place is chock full of Jets fans. Make no mistake. Do you really think they can be fair and just when it comes to anything regarding the Patriots? A hammer and nail are not rivals, so Patriots and Jets is not a rivalry. But Jesus Christ, it's painfully obvious, and they have the water carriers and the media to just. Yeah, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist. Not maybe there's, I don't know, plenty of Ravens fans at 345 Park Avenue, but talk me down, Patrick.
So I'm going to put you down as not thinking like Chris Mortensen does that.
Goodell's
handling of this is going to, whisk him, waive the waiting period, just install him in the into Canton right now, fellas.
11 out of 12 voters agree.
Well, the good thing is we know that he can delete that tweet in 7 months if he holds holds to his pattern.
Once he finds the delete button, that'll be fine. You know, Mortensen is the senile grandfather to the younger idiots Rappaport and Breer and even Schefter. They've branched the tree out to the useful idiots more locally, like Volin and almost the coach. It is for some reason, and those who cover the league, it's almost to the level of the NBA where they're not reporters, they're not insiders. You can put any label on them that you want. All they are, they're public relation reps.
Oh yeah, it's windhorsts all the way down.
Yeah, it's a nice game that I've always liked to play with myself is when you read a Rappaport tweet, specifically Rappaport. Breer doesn't have any sources. He's the retweeter general. But when you read a Rappaport tweet, try to figure out who's giving the information, whether it's a source within the team. 90% of the time, that's a little high, but play agent or GM with Rappaport and find out who the message is coming from. Same thing with Schefter's been accused of having an inside source at 345 Park Avenue where he can tweet stuff before as it gets on the league wire in their headquarters. But it is a fun game. It's a fun game to play if you're a masochist.
And I've been known to play that game myself.
We'll just leave that one there. Bill O'Brien got fired this week. There were numerous victory laps taken, but I find it interesting that somebody who had won the division, I'm not going to tell you Bill O'Brien is a wonderful executive. He did win the division 4 out of the last 6 years, yet the execrable Ron Borges, plagiarism specialist, and also he's a noted expert in assaulting the elderly. Ron Borges takes a victory lap that another failed branch of the Belichick coaching tree. No credit for Nick Saban, mind you, at all, caller. But
oh no, he's factored right the heck out.
No, not the most successful coach in modern time, and certainly this century. In college football, that doesn't count at all, does it?
Not if it doesn't support his thesis, right?
Thesis. We're using the Chris Farley quotation quotes again. Thesis. Who did Borges steal that thesis from?
It could be quite a few people.
Mike Sando's at the top of the list.
Mike Sando, there's the name I was looking for.
Yeah, there you go. I got your back. It's like Oates the Neely back in the day. I'm just going to feed you this. I'm going to feed you more information than an agent gives Rappaport. That's what I'm doing.
If that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do. But for crying out loud, when you know when they start bringing out the coaching tree thing, you know it's obviously a distraction from the fact that they don't like the fact that Coach Bill was 2-1 coming into this weekend, and if not for going up a couple yards and 20 seconds short, they might have been coming in 3-0.
Yeah, the Seattle game in retrospect really, really hurts. that's a really good football team that they traveled 3,000 miles. That they quite frankly, I mean, the wonderful comeback. Newton was excellent in that game, despite the one turnover was probably the difference. Well, I guess both teams turned over the ball in that game, but
yeah,
they should have won that game. But that happens. We went over this a couple of weeks ago. It's the last three games in that series have all been decided inside the 2 yard line. And none of the offenses converted.
Well, yeah, if you want to play Borges' sick little game, let's look at Seattle. That was one of the teams that beat Brian Flores, you know, leaving him with the 1-3 record. Who else beat him? New England and Buffalo. Buffalo hasn't lost yet. Seattle hasn't lost yet. They beat Jacksonville, and I suppose they should beat Jacksonville. But Brian Flores, he started to – the Miami team started bad last year, but they, you know, finished – their last 9 games was – they were 5-4. So they got all their wins on the back half of the season there in the last 2 months. So he's going to be a good coach, I think.
Flores is kind of the immediate litmus test because they can make it a no-win scenario – or, excuse me, an all-win scenario for media – and a no-win scenario for Bill. If Flores succeeds, he got away. He's in your division, caller. And if he flops, well, just another failed branch on the Belichick coaching tree.
Oh, exactly. I'm sure Joe Judge didn't pencil in, and Saquon Barkley tears his ACL week 2 or 3, so that should be fine. I should still be able to win some games after that.
I will tell you that I was weeping for our buddy Dave, watching Danny Dimes pull his Mitch Trubisky impersonation. Oh, not ideal, caller.
No, it wasn't. But what I've found is they can still probably get 3 wins against the rest of the NFC East.
That might win the division.
That might win the division. They're not going to go 0-16, I don't believe.
Yeah, I can't see them losing twice to the football team, Dallas. Can you imagine with all the weapons with a Z that Dallas has and the lack of results, what would happen here? The media's heads would explode because they have I heard of hims all over the roster, and yet they're 1-3.
Heard of hims, a hopper heard of hims.
Yeah, it's almost as if football is a game of toughness, preparation, and, you know, strength in the trenches. I could be completely wrong.
I think you're right. We'll have to look this up later.
I will tell you this. They're scheduled to play Denver at Foxborough on Sunday. For me, and I'm speaking for myself, Denver, they might as well have gloves, baseball gloves and pinstripes. They might as well wear purple and gold and be in a bubble. I hate that franchise. There's been Mosi Tatupu fumbled when I was a kid. Dennis Smith ran it back for a touchdown when the Patriots are trying to salt away a win. And there's been nothing good that's happened against that team in that building since. The building in Colorado, they've had some nice wins in Foxborough. They lost 2 AFC title games in Denver. So I don't care who's at quarterback or who's playing for Denver on Sunday. That franchise is run by John Elway, who the Patriots never beat as a player. So I think you'll have a hard time believing this, but I'll be frothing at the mouth if they do kick off on Sunday.
If they do, it should be an interesting game. It's
interesting.
Well, you got yourself, it could be, someone out there came up with the fact that it could be a third string quarterback against a third string quarterback in week 5.
Yeah, it's could be big if true. I mean, who knew that quarterback depth would be depth essential anyway, but depth of quarterback during a pandemic, I'm not shy to tell you, had it first again.
All right, well, quarterback, and what are your, I'm calling an audible here to, continue the quarterback theme here. What do you think about Edelman? Is he playing a bit hurt? Is he lost a step? There's been some, whispers with regard to that. I'm not buying it.
But. They're all hurt. It's at some point. He's 34 years old. He gives zero fucks about his body. I think it's entirely possible that the game plan was run heavy on Monday. He's not that far removed from an unbelievable performance against, he had a 12-catch game recently. I'm trying to go through the stats here as my memory, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, and my memory is failing me. So I'm going back.
But two passes clank off his hands.
He's never had the best hands in the history of the game. If we're being honest, right? That pass was, he's a great player. He'll walk into the Patriots Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. Tough game. Just chalk it up and move on.
You got to be like a, let's all bring it back to baseball. You got to be like a closer. If you blow a save, next time you come back in, you got to leave that behind you.
It all comes back to baseball, Danny.
It does.
Do you want to do some do you want to do some rapid fire, Scartsy, rather than talk about a Denver team we have no frigging idea what we're looking at? We could make it up for, like most of the rest of the Boston media.
That's right. You know what? That's the great thing. If there's a game on Sunday, we will talk about it. If there's no game on Sunday, we're going to talk about that. If they have to cancel a couple of games, well then, going from the 2-2 record, 7-7, here we come.
That's old board legacy stuff right there. There's about 11 people listening or 15 people listening that understand that.
That's more than I expected.
Well, it's double our normal. But
let's do some rapid fire here.
You lead off.
All right. Let me get my copious notes here.
Well, I'm gonna set up the non-existent clock for 90 seconds. We're gonna get some bonus time on the non-existent clock this week. It'll be 90 seconds.
All right.
Ready when you are. Here is your first subject. Okay. Ready?
All right. Who's the dumber Murray at 98.5? Jim or Joe?
Yes.
Correct. Pat Patriot or Flying Elvis?
Pat Patriot.
Wiggins or Fourier?
No.
Not even if I was discussing, who you'd want in a snowstorm?
Well, it's Wiggy then. I mean, come on.
Very, very situational.
Yes.
Very situational.
He's our snowstorm. He's our He's our generational snowstorm tight end.
Exactly. And you only get one of those per generation, obviously. That's
true. Big if true.
All right. Coffee, Dunks or Starbucks?
Come on now, Dunks.
There we go.
That's almost an insult, Pat. That's almost an insult.
Well, I figure you might have, lost your loyalty, being out there.
Well, here's the thing.
Out there in the belly of the beast.
I swing a stick. When I was living in Brockton, I swing a stick. I hit 5 donkeys. Here I hit 14 independent coffee shops with much cheaper, better coffee, and I'm supporting people during a pandemic. Next question.
There we go. Hayward Sullivan or Lou Gorman?
The sweet, sweet sound of death, please. The sun will rise, the sun will set, and I'll have lunch.
So you got to go with Lou. I guess.
I guess, yeah.
All right. Zach Prescott or Manny Ortiz?
Manny Ortiz.
Exactly. You got to go with the local, completely made-up player.
Yeah, and you got to go. I also like doing the monotone that John Kerry, Manny Ortiz.
That's right. Okay. Boston Museum of Science or New England Aquarium?
Aquarium. Although I loved the laser show back in the day. And what was the theater they did there when they had the ride down Sturrow Drive?
Is that the Omni Mugar Theater?
The Omni Theater was awesome. I had so many bad first dates in that place back in the day. It says, I'll go with the aquarium just because there's less trauma associated with getting, you know, getting the handshake when we go back to the Green Line after going to the Omni Theater.
Well, so like, there's no wrong answer there. Okay. We're going as far as being unintentionally funny, regular Brian or Mensa Matt?
Wow. That's like Ruth against Trout. I mean, I'll go with Mensa Matt. Mensa Matt is my muse.
And he's still alive on Facebook, I understand.
And I want to give, what's the opposite of a stick tap to our dear departed friend, WW2 Felger, who reported Mensa Matt? Yes, I'm outing you. Who reported Mensa Matt and banished him from Twitter forever. And Matt is so jaded, he will not re-sign up.
Well, I suppose there is a few Verizon employees still walking around because of that, but...
With severed limbs, regardless, but... He's going... What was the line? He was going to go pistol? Go postal,
go postal with a pistol. With his pistol.
Oh, my God. Give him directions,
sweet angel.
Give him directions to the 98.5 studio with that anger. I mean, come on.
Oh, he loves 98.5, though.
Yeah, it's...
And then,
98.5 is a cult. It really is a cult, isn't it?
Very much so. I can only agree. And, okay, we got one more question.
All right.
Hurricane Delta or Hurricane Radio?
Hurricane Radio. Pete Shepard, you sweet prince. You mentioned it in your emptying out the sports desk drawer today. Doesn't Pete Shepard deserve another shot at WEEI? Hurricane Radio for life. I love that he tried to do that, to do a podcast with a flip phone. We've evolved slightly from that, but, you know, I would like to think that we're Pete Shepard's technological muse, only slightly advanced in podcast form.
One of those no good herons must have the tapes. Release the meat locker tapes.
You're baiting me. Don't get me started on the herons. You know you're baiting me.
I am. So right, that's well, that.
I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to take the bait. Instead, I'm going to take the baton, and I'm going to ask you rapid fire. I'm going to put, we'll put 2 minutes on the clock. Are you ready?
I am ready.
The first question is either or. You have to listen to BJ Dean's album in its entirety once, or have Marley Matlin earmuffs for eternity.
Oh, boy.
That's the correct answer. Oh, boy is the correct answer.
I hate that I almost know the name of his album, which I think is just one, which is just one song, or I don't know. It probably has a side B and a side J kind of thing, like the old, Guns N' Roses did for Appetite for Destruction. It had a side G and a side R.
Yeah, Appetite for Destruction would be an apt title for anything BJ Dean does. But I will tell you, you know what that reminds me of? Remember the episode, the dinner party episode of The Office, when yes. Jan puts in her assistant's cassette into Michael's surround sound system? And the song is clear. Oh, the song wouldn't be about Jan in this case. It would be about Felcher. All right, we're going to go back. Next question. You're locked. We're going to go back to the locked room and a gun. One bullet. Suicide is off the table. Someone has to die for you to escape. Who lives, Dale or Keith?
Oh, I think... Well, I shouldn't say, but... Definitely Dale and I are going to be leaving there, going to drive 60 miles to get some $7 meatballs.
Well played. Empirically, everyone knows Bill the GM kills Bill the coach caller. Do you charge him with murder one or manslaughter?
Oh, it's the level of intent is entirely there. It can't be anything less than murder one.
That's correct. Lawrence Maroney or Stephen Ridley?
Maroney gets a bad rap. And I was...
They both get bad raps.
They both get bad raps. And I think I'd go with Rids.
Yeah, Ridley had a 1,000-yard season. Maroney was fantastic in 07, but be that as it may. So flip side of that coin, Chad Jackson or Aaron Dropson? Get it? Dropson?
Dropson. Dropson.
Dropson. That's funny, right? Yeah.
Knee slap. Chad Jackson, he's always number one on the list of blown wide receiver picks, right?
Exhibit A for the prosecution, usually, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, you know, things don't always work out. But, yeah, I'd go with Aaron.
Fair enough. Yes or no question. Will the Red Sox be in on everyone?
Oh, just toss another log on that hot stove. They are definitely going to be in on everything. They're going to wreck their hotel room when the Yankees poach one of the players that they desperately wanted.
Name the player who Theo destroyed the hotel room over. Spoiler, Jose Contreras. He's set the Theo overpay, Jose Contreras. I mean, it's out of character for him. I get that. But what's the bigger waste of time? Power rankings or PFF grades?
Anyone can do power rankings, but PFF needs a headquarters in, you know, beautiful downtown Cincinnati. PFF.
And a deaf TVs everywhere. Everywhere.
do they still have that offer open for you to visit the
Have I told that story? Have I told that story?
Let's pretend you hadn't.
Steve Palazzolo, who is one of the one of Collinsworth's first hires at PFF, offered me, and this was a generous offer, a no expensive paid flight to Cincinnati in March to tour the PFF studios in downtown Cincinnati, which may not contain a chicken, to go look at their standard def TVs and their Betamaxes and watch film with them. Surprisingly, they were insulted when I said no. If the offer's still open, Scartzy, I can see if I can hook you up with that. I think we can get our buddy Carl's Greyhound preferred number and get you a discount bus fare to Cincinnati.
Is that where the Skyline Chili is?
Oh, yeah. That's Peter King. Peter King and Roger Goodell, the Ginger Menace, approves of Skyline Chili.
How can they know what – how can they give grades if they don't know what the assignments are for the players?
Well, I grade your comment a plus 2.2, so I didn't know your point, but I still graded it. Next question, Al or the Entitled Town Orchestra?
Al is the straw that stirs the drink.
He is. That is absolutely correct. Next question, this is what they call in the business, I guess, a callback. $7 meatballs or a $750 federal tax bill?
What if someone down the street started selling $8 meatballs?
7-minute abs.
It doesn't work like that.
It's the opposite way, Patrick. I mean, come on. So we'll leave that one blank. Obligatory question.
Must be nice to only pay $7.50 in taxes.
Must be nice, right. Rest in peace to the great Eddie Van Halen. So got to ask, obligatory, Van Halen or Van Hagar?
Van Halen.
Favorite Van Halen song?
Unchained.
Excellent. Let's pivot off of that unfortunate choice of words on my part. Susanna Hoffs or Belinda Carlisle?
Susanna Hoffs.
Again, no wrong answer. Go ahead.
Going with the Bengals there. And she's married to Jay Roach.
From the Charlestown 99 fame, yes.
Exactly. Ryan Flores.
99 or Ground Round?
Ground Round. That's where you have the big player That's where you have the player meetings.
Rodney Harrison for the win. There you go. Trading Places or Beverly Hills Cop?
Trading Places.
Again, there's no wrong answer there. John Ashton, unbelievable performance as Taggart. One of my favorites of the 80s for secondary actors.
Oh, MLB sure. Commissioner.
Go ahead.
You got him. You got Ronnie Cox.
Unbelievable movie. Great performances on both sides. I think you're ultimately right. You got to go with back end of his prime, Dan Aykroyd, with just entering his prime, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, sure.
But again, there's no wrong answers there. Nope. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred or Ginger Menace Roger Goodell?
Manfred, the lesser of two evils there.
Still evil, but just the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
What has more listeners? A Revolution Game on 98.5? The Greg Bedard Podcast? Or people listening to us?
Oh, I've met people who listen to us, so I'm going to have to go with us. And then doing the ranked choice voting there, I would go with the Revs game because people love Jonathan. And then I've seen the things on Twitter where Cattles and Bedard are broadcasting to a audience of exactly no one. So there we have it.
Yeah, that's the answer there. On the last two-thirds portion is that three is better than zero.
That's right.
All right, so that is it for my portion of Rapid Fire, Mr. Cartelli. And in the spirit of the great David Faraday, as always, you win nothing. Anything else on the agenda?
Let's see. I'm looking over the notes. I got all my old board lines in that I wanted to get in. And if LJ Sandwich is out there, we wish you well.
Yeah, there was, you know, Scartsy and I are pretend but real online friends for a long time now. Friend of the podcast, Bruce Allen, hosted a message board, BostonSportsMediaWatch.com, and I don't think that's active anymore, Scartsy. Is that correct?
It occasionally gets updated by Chris Warner, I believe.
That's right. I joined that website in the 48 hours after the Aaron Boone home run, because I was ready to take that one bullet and actually do something that no one should ever do to themselves. But it was such a great community of smart people, and it's kind of evolved into, it's mutated, I should say, into the BJBS Journal account with a lot of smart, funny people, you being at the top of that list. So I just want to thank Scartsy. He's been just thank you so much for, you know, joining me and doing this podcast and tolerating my inanity and my bullshit. So,
I am pleased to be here myself. I'm just glad to be a part of the continuity, and just want to be good help.
Yeah, that's. I would like to say that I vetted you much more thoroughly than Greg Bedard has ever vetted any of his hires. Again, Chris Farley quotation fingers hires. So I don't know about you, but have we done almost the podcast?
I believe we have completed almost a podcast to the best of our ability.
Yeah, that's, again, a low ceiling, high floor, but entitledtown@gmail.com is the email address. The Twitter account is @entitledtown. My man, Patrick Scartelli's, which is, again, the column today, I mean, just mic drop, you know, bat flip, whatever you call it. Scartsy's musings can be found at thebjbsjournal.com. It is must read. It is the only thing that I read religiously and faithfully. And I would like to remind everybody that material from interviews, wire services, Twitter, other writers, league and teen sources, and the 15 were used in this podcast. And in closing, I ask you for one favor, and one favor only.
That's right.
Turn off your radios.